Well, if you've got a Bible, or if not, the gospel reading for today is from Mark 2, and it's about the baptism of Jesus. So, at this time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. As Marcus said, I'm Manda, and I'm the vicar here. And how great it is for each of us to be part of Olivia's baptism today. Kate, Ozzy, thank you for sharing this with us. Part of baptism is welcome Olivia into the church family. And it is just brilliant, whether you're Olivia's family and friends or part of St. Mary's Church. What a gift to be part of her baptism today. Well, I wonder if there's anyone out there here who journals. Is there anyone who keeps a diary? I don't. But I can imagine that if I did, this would be my entry regarding Olivia's baptism. And I confess I was scribbling it down as I watched her be baptised. This would be my journal entry about Olivia's baptism. Olivia arrived with her mum and dad, Kate and Ozzy. She was wearing a lovely white pretty dress and sparkly shoes. She'd even got two white bows in her hair. She felt really confident. She walked around carrying her parents' keys. I really hope they can find them later. When she was up at the front, she was even waving to the family. Reverend Marcus baptized her in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And she did so well with all that water over her. And when we welcomed her into the church, we clapped. And if you were watching carefully, Olivia started clapping too. Well, there you go. That's my attempt at my journal entry for Olivia's baptism. And in some ways, our Bible reading today in the Gospel of Mark, what we get is his journal entry for Jesus's baptism. Now, I've got some, it's part of the Bible, but I've got some individual copies of Mark's Gospel, and they're a gift to anybody today who wants to take one home and read it. And at the very beginning of this book, Mark writes, "The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." That's the very first verse. And just 10 verses later, he writes his entry about Jesus' baptism. And it said this, "And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" As Marcus said earlier, this is Trinity Sunday in the church calendar. And as I've just said, he baptized Olivia in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here in the Bible reading, we see God, the three persons, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. God the Son, Jesus, is the one being baptized. God the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus like a dove. And God the Father is so present, we hear his voice from heaven. Today, on Olivia's baptism day, on Trinity Sunday, and on Father's Day, what I'd like to do for a short time now is focus on that voice from God the Father coming from heaven. What God said over Jesus was, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is my son. He's known. He belongs. Whom I love. He's loved. What amazing security in the love of God. And with him I am well pleased. He's affirmed. What confidence that must have given. What a great point from which Jesus is about to start his earthly ministry. This voice from his Father that he's known, that he's loved, and that he's affirmed. This is Jesus's identity. And it's from this secure identity that he then lives his life and his ministry. You know, Jesus, the way he acted when he was on earth, didn't have to do anything driven by trying to please others. He didn't have to do anything trying to earn his worth from other people. Yes, of course, Jesus is God, but he knows who he is. And from that security in his identity comes his life and his ministry. Not striving to impress others. Not tossed here and there because of what others think, but his identity is in his heavenly Father. He's secure because he's known, he's loved, and he's affirmed. And it's important to say at this point that this is right at the beginning of Jesus's ministry. At this point, Jesus hasn't done anything of worth in the eyes of the world. He's not done any miracles. He's not healed anybody. There's been no standing up in front of crowds. He's not taught anything. He's got no followers. But God the Father says, with him I am well pleased. It's nothing about what he's done. It's all about who he is. A child of God who's dearly loved. And isn't this security, this sense of belonging, this confident identity, what we want and pray for Olivia? Knowing who she is and being secure in that. But actually, isn't that also what we long for ourselves? For strivings to cease, to be not bothered about how many followers or likes. Not bothered about waiting for your boss to say that particular thing to you or the family member. I believe inside us that's what we're longing for. And I believe that that identity and security can only be found in relationship with God. So I want to say today on Olivia's baptism, having looked at the baptism of Jesus, hello. Got the keys again. Good. Don't hide them. All right. Come on, you can come up. That's fine, because it's your day. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Shall I have the car keys? Thank you very much. I've just been talking about how we would love for you to grow up knowing that your identity is in God. You are God's child. You are dearly loved. And even though you've done nothing yet in the eyes of the world that is of worth, God says over you, Olivia Catherine Morgan, with you I am well pleased. Yeah, you can look over my shoulder, that's fine, but it is the most profound thing that's said. All right? Yeah, and a microphone. So maybe you'd like, I'll put you down first and then you can take the keys back. Is that all right? Ready, steady. Oopsie, up we get. And that's also what God says. It's okay, up you get. You can do it. With you, I'm well pleased. Well, in lots of ways, I could stop there, couldn't I? Shall I just stop there? But I'm just going to look at those three phrases very quickly. Jesus hears the voice of his heavenly Father that says, this is my son. God says to Olivia and to each of us, you are my child. We are God's daughters and sons. We are known. Elsewhere in the Bible it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You are God's child. Whom I love, God says over you. God loves you. Here today, whether for the first time or the millionth time, that you are loved by God. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you'll ever do that will make God love you less. One of the most famous verses in the Bible, in fact, I loved it years ago at the Winter Olympics. There was a guy on the corner of the bobsleigh holding up this sign that went, John 3:16. He had to be quick. He knew the cameras would come and the bobsleigh would go around the next team. John 3:16. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. That includes you and me. God so loved you, he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to live and die on the cross that we might be forgiven and restored in our relationship with God. That's what baptism signifies. The going down into the water, identifying with the death of Christ that brings our forgiveness, but rising to new life. As we sang that first song after Olivia's baptism, Marcus talked about the new life in God that we're given. This is hope. If you're sat here this morning and wondering if there is any hope in our affected world, in lives that are challenged, there is hope. And hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And God says, with you I am well pleased. He delights in you. And it's not because of what you have done, but because of who you are. The Bible says that even the very hairs on your head have been counted. These three phrases encapsulate yours and mine true identity, the identity found in God. The only true identity, security, and love comes from God, and then life can be lived to the full. Blaise Pascal said this, not only do we know God through Jesus Christ, we also only know ourselves through Jesus Christ, known and loved and affirmed. You may be sat here enjoying watching Olivia go up and down, wondering where those keys are going to end up. And you may even be wondering, does God really say that over me? It's there in the Bible, but did he just say it over Jesus? Well, I think that's a great question. And the reason I say it's spoken over each of us is because I've shown from other parts of the Bible that it clearly says that we are his children, that we are loved, and that he's pleased with us. But I do want to choose one particular verse in the Bible that says this. It's from the Old Testament. So here's some more words of God over you and me. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's a beautiful verse. And so I have bought a journal for you, for Olivia, which says that verse. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's my gift to you today, to write in things for Olivia, for yourselves. Maybe bring it out on a 16th or 18th or 21st. That verse says that God is with us, that he delights over us, he loves us and rejoices with singing. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing right now. But as I was preparing for today, I did come across a story. It's about a community in Namibia. And in this community, when a woman is pregnant, she writes a song over her yet-to-be-born child. That song is just for her child, presumably about who that child is and is going to be, and the love the parents have. They teach that song to the community, so that that song is sung at every important point of the person's life. The midwives sing it as the child is born. The community sing it as they take their first steps, as they go to school, as they start their job. When they get married, both songs of both people are sung over them. And you know, interestingly, if someone goes off the rails a bit, if someone does something wrong, if someone commits a crime, the community gather around them and they sing their unique song over them. This is who you are. This is who you are. Don't do that. This is who you are. This is how you're loved. This is the way. Walk in it. May we all hear God's song over us today. May we hear his words over us, because only in him will we find love unconditional and our true security. You are God's child. You are dearly loved. And with you, he is well pleased. And I urge you, if you're here today and you don't yet know Jesus, you don't know God with you, you don't know security and hope in life in him, then please do take some steps to explore that. I've offered you the gift of Mark's gospel. I also have some other leaflets called Why Jesus? And then we run various things here for people to explore. Lord, speak over us, sing over us today. May we know who we are in you, and may we know your great love for us, we pray. Amen.